Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. I am super excited to share with you our guest today, Margaret Myers from Atlantic 57. Margaret, thank you for being on the podcast.
I'm so excited to be here, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're totally welcome. And, you know, I kind of rushed things to get this started recording because just a moment ago you were telling me about your excitement and we're going to riff on that for a little bit here. So thank you so much for, just being really kind of gracious about letting me hit the record button. I didn't want to spoil any of the excitement as we're kind of initially connecting here for the podcast.
Totally.
I think that one of the things you were sharing, you were kind of talking about some of our previous guests. Were you listening to some of the episodes before you hopped on?
I was. And in fact, I was listening to the last guest that you had. Hold on, let me pull it up because I was thinking, oh yes, we do similar work. And I was thinking to myself, I guess maybe this is what's unique about me is that I didn't come from a consulting or an agency background. So I was a little bit intimidated because there are some folks who you've spoken with who have this like amazing body of work and they, you know, they've been in this sort of field for many, many years, and I can learn from them. Trust me. that's definitely something that jumped out at me is just the amazing caliber of people you've spoken with.
Well, that means a lot. And to anyone, you know, big shout out to all of our previous guests on the podcast. I also think it's kind of a big shout out to our entire community. And that's why I wanted to capture this initially, because what you were sharing with me was from the heart and super authentic. A lot of times, I'm finding when there's preamble before the podcast interview starts, we don't capture it. We just get into kind of like what the guest is doing instead of kind of the why. And I think that you're someone that has fueled my passion, because your work through Atlantic 57, for example, with one of your endeavors or clients, the Renewal Project, you highlighted and featured Charity Charge. And that's how we initially, came across one another or put in touch. It might have even been initially through, as I think about Grant Trahant from Cause Artists, might have put us in touch. But I know you featured us pretty early on as we were getting Charity Charge off the ground. And so, you know, the community that we've been able to create has been unbelievable. And my passion with this podcast is really reconnecting with so many of these people that are part of our journey and our story. And you were one of the first. So I want to thank you for everything that you've done to help us at Charity Charge and spread our work. Thank you so much.
That means so much to me. And I always remember you, Stephen, because not only because you wrote a couple essays for the Renewal Project, which is a brand platform, a storytelling platform from Allstate, but you have, I was telling my coworkers just a few minutes ago, you have introduced me to so many folks, including Grant, including the founders of MidScoots.
Tim Scott, big shout out. We had him, he was on one of the earlier episodes, actually. Yeah.
I think I'm wearing my MidScoots socks today. I started buying socks from them, by the way, and they're like my favorite socks now.
I've got a pair as well.
Shout out. And so many others. And I was telling my coworkers, I was like, you know how everyone has that friend who's like the person who's always introducing you to somebody, like he's the connector friend. So you're my connector friend. You're always introducing me to people. And I think I've introduced you to a couple folks too, I hope. And I want to keep it up.
You have. Well, we will together. You know, we'll conquer the world and keep spreading positivity and goodness. And, you know, we're going to get into, I know I had sent over some questions and we were kind of emailing back and forth, even as recent as yesterday, about the scope of this interview. But as we're just jiving here, to me, that's really at the core of what we're trying to do at Charity Charge is just spread a lot of, you know, positivity and just connect with good people. And so when I get that back, like you just shared, that's what fills me up. And so I love doing this. So we'll keep doing it. And to all the people that, you know, are a part of Charity Charge and a part of our lives over here, We really appreciate everyone.
Exactly. Well said.
So, you know, we kind of riffed on that a little bit, you know, coming back, because we'll talk about, you know, one of your projects and clients, renewal project, but could you initially just kind of share for people your role at Atlantic 57 and a bit of what Atlantic 57 does?
Absolutely. So I am a senior editor at Atlantic 57. So that means I work with brands to help them develop their voice in the marketplace. So I've got about 15 or so years background as a reporter and a writer. So I'm a journalist. But I use those same skills and apply them to work with clients. I help them reach audiences through storytelling that hopefully becomes a part of their lives and ideally an essential part of their day. But I do that with my clients' business objectives in mind. So right now I'm working on this platform for Allstate called the Renewal Project. And together with Allstate, we launched this branded multi-platform social campaign, a multi-year social campaign that celebrates local stories of ingenuity and people and organizations who are moving America forward. Including social entrepreneurs such as yourself. We're looking for those nuggets of great ideas. And the reason we were attracted to Charity Charges, it was unique. I never read about something like this. And you really touched upon a great way to solve a problem. Funding for nonprofits, and you're doing it in a very creative way. So that's what we look at. And that's what Allstate looks to me for. I have that background in storytelling, in finding stories and then reporting on them. And so that's what I do for Allstate. But that's just one tiny slice of what we do here at Atlantic 57. We are a team of strategists, editors, designers, researchers, and engineers. Who take on the combined work of a creative agency, a content firm, and a business consultancy to help clients disrupt and endure, is what we say. We are designed, we design not just for disruption, but for endurance. And we've learned that by being a part of this 160-year-old plus year organization called The Atlantic. And so you're probably familiar with The Atlantic magazine, some of these lessons that we've learned from this enduring brand is kind of cooked into our DNA as a firm.
I love it. And even as I'm on, you know, your site, I know we had talked a bit before, but there's a variety of different clients that you've served, obviously outside of just Allstate and the Renewal Project, but you know, as I'm scrolling through here, you've worked with the Ford Foundation, American Cancer Society, California Healthcare Foundation, so many others that it's really kind of incredible. I think the diversity of clients that you've served, and I think a lot of them that are, you know, looking for your services to advance their impact. I'm curious. You know, with that kind of being a little bit of the setup, what are some examples perhaps of brands or companies that you've helped where you've been really proud of the storytelling and maybe could share like an anecdote of kind of some of the impact or the outcome of kind of before and after once they worked with you in your firm?
Right. So, because I've been working with Allstate for the last 4 years, I can speak probably, you know, most expertly about that work. And so what we say is, you know, we believe that brands can become an essential part of their audience's lives, just as an editorial organization like The Atlantic can do. So, you know, we, as storytellers, as editors, you know, we can illuminate important issues. We can even change perception and inform decisions. We also know how to connect people to each other through shared experiences and empathy that the storytelling can bring. And also we give voice to important perspectives. I definitely use my reporting skills to try to find those perspectives you know, in the field. And so for a brand, what that means is we are able to reach the right people. We are, and this is a big one, especially kind of in this sort of, you know, crazy melee of media right now, we know how to earn customers and audiences' trust and loyalty. We know how to, you know, become a regular part of these audiences' lives. An example with the Renewal Project is we have a weekly newsletter. And with that, I've been able to connect with a core group of readers. And we formed this kind of community where people now are using it to source solutions to common challenges that they have. So we're able, we know how to build these lasting audience relationships. And I think, you know, one of the key outcomes that we would like to see for brands is we know how to motivate action on our clients' behalf. So, you know, through the Renewal Project, we're trying to create this emotional bond that a reader or a subscriber would have with the Renewal Project in Allstate.
I think for a second, Margaret, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that scale is relative and budgets are also relative. I think that, you know, there's certain things that I think when, if someone who's listening to this is running a, let's call it a quote, small, a local business, as my friend Rob Lowe would call it, but no, a small business or a, you know, a smaller nonprofit, is inspired by what you're saying, but says, well, I don't have the budget that Allstate has, or, you know, the resources that Atlantic 57 has. What are, I'm just curious, some practical steps that you might give or suggest to someone that's trying to, you know, that is an established organization or brand, but trying to take this next step in terms of building a community and audience, engaging with them. What are some of the kind of tips or things that you might suggest to that person running that quote, small organization?
Well, one of the pieces of advice I give to folks who want to share their story is, please tell me your personal story. What, do you know what I mean? So
yeah, well, you gave that to me too, and I wrote up the whole story for you, you know, for you, for Renewal Project initially. It was really about, you know, like, why did I come up with the idea, or how did I come up with the idea? Why did I want to do it? So yeah, keep going. This is great. Keep going.
And I'll actually give you like a hard example of one of our biggest successes. Like one of the most, like for me, I'm definitely looking at data and analytics. So it's like, I will look to see like traffic wise on our website or on our social media channel, like what is really resonating. But so what I tell folks is, tell us your authentic story. And what that means is I don't necessarily want to just hear what your mission statement is, although that is probably very important and you will bake it into your message that you convey to the world. But tell your authentic story in a way that it's going to connect with folks who want to connect with you. So one of the most popular stories of the year last year was, it kind of surprised us too. It was a woman who owns a bar in Ithaca, New York, and she told us about how she is training her staff in, it's intervention training. So all her bar staff kind of can spot the signs to see if someone is in a potentially abusive or violent situation in their bar. So like the entire bar staff just sort of like are aware and are trying to keep the folks safe at the bar. And she just kind of told us how, you know, reading stories in the news, and there was like a lot of talk about domestic violence around the time where I think there was like a couple of cases in the NFL. And she kind of put it together like, well, you know, when people come to our bar, they're drinking and they're having a great time and, you know, they want to be together with each other, but sometimes, you know, alcohol can fuel certain situations, and it's incumbent upon her and her staff to make sure that everybody is safe and can take part in this community experience together. So she wrote about why it was so important. And then she also wrote about some of the signs that you can look for. And I think that also resonated with people. And so when we shared this on social media, people shared their own stories. And it was a way for everyone to talk about this very important subject and then to connect with each other. And, you know, Allstate is giving this platform. And so I think that was like a magical part for us to realize that people were craving this platform and they wanted to talk about it. And, you know, here was Ashley Cake is her name. And she just, you know, sat down and told us her story and why she decided to, you know, put her bartenders through this training. That's it. Like, it's kind of simple. Like,
but all it took authentic.
She was authentic.
You know, and I think authentic and personal, and, you know, there's a variety of different adjectives that we can use, but I think I love your, what you just went over and your example of it there. I think that, as you know, I asked you for your advice on it. And, you know, kind of my perspective is that the things that have bode very well for us in growing Charity Charge and candidly make things in life a lot easier are just being who we are. Like, there's no front. And when you don't have a front, people can sense that, and naturally it's inviting, and then they want to share. I mean, and so I think it's really interesting here. Like, let me ask you a question. I think what you're tapping into with your strategy and insights and the things that your type of client work that you're doing is almost leveraging the internet for what it is, in the sense of finding ways to scale normal human one-on-one, the best of positive interactions, but allowing it to scale and connect people through the internet. So curious if anything of what I just said resonates with you and kind of allows you to open up a little bit more on just the realities of, you know, taking things from the best of offline human interactions and making them online.
Absolutely. I mean, we couldn't have built this brand, this platform, this digital platform from the ground up without social media. And now, you know, I'll be frank, we did use other levers to like really cultivate this audience. So the Renewal Project does have an events, it's not the Renewal Project, it's Allstate underwrites an events portion, which is part of this partnership, and they're called Renewal Summit. So they have two summits a year, and through that audience cultivation, we do get to like meet people actually in person. And we get to talk about some of these same issues in person. And then from there, you know, we sign them up for newsletters and, you know, we cultivate it from multiple avenues. But yeah, we wouldn't have been able to build this platform without social media, without, you know, speaking to folks, especially on Facebook. That's definitely been one of our biggest drivers. But we do also use a variety of tactics such as SEO, like really, you know, really optimizing our stories to answer to the needs of readers and, you know, people who are looking for this type of solution style journalism.
Well, I respect how you, you know, we started with talking about the qualitative and the feel good side of storytelling, but yeah, I mean, you jiving right there, segueing into the tactical things to grow an audience, to grow awareness are well warranted. And I think that, you know, utilizing the offline event that you're doing twice a year is tremendous, right? And then, you know, actually creating something tangible and real in person. But, and then naturally the things of SEO and link building and, you know, other aspects that you can do to drive traffic, you know, are key. And I think what's so cool about a lot of these positivity and features is, you know, we were so humbled and honored when you featured it, featured Charity Charge, that is, through on the Renewal Project, that, you know, we naturally were sharing it. And, you know, I was getting texts from people like, oh my God, I saw you featured, like, this is so cool and so great. And so I think that, you know, it's natural to get those, you know, when you feature people, they're going to want to share it. And I think that's a little bit of kind of things that we've seen at Charity Charge, that candidly go win-win when we do blog features or client features. They're so excited, they want to share it too. And then more people come into our orbit in our world. So it really benefits everyone, but it's been a great strategy in a very grassroots way to grow an audience.
Absolutely. I love that. I love being part of this network, and it will just we'll keep on feeding each other so that we keep it going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Curious. I know we've talked a lot about your work at Atlantic 57 and some of the clients, and used a couple of examples, Renewal Project being one of them. I'm just curious, like, just having, again, in the sense of being authentic and honest with you, externally, like, because you're a practitioner in this world, I imagine that you see other brands like doing a great job, and you kind of maybe can notice it a bit more than how it might seem subtle to someone who's not in the branding, marketing, storytelling, content world. So, long-winded way of saying, are there any like external brands that you admire for their marketing that come top of mind?
Yeah. So for me, I think about, I was talking earlier about that emotional connection, and maybe it's because I'm from Detroit, but I always have an emotional connection with like cars. I love cars. And although, full disclosure, although I would never drive this brand, because again, I'm from Detroit, I drive, I got my little GMC, gotta support Detroit, but I really love Subaru. So I really love the way that they have kind of they've made this connection.
My parents do as well. They both drive Subarus. So just to get you got the right audience. Okay. Hi, Mom.
I love it because Subaru has like created this connection between, here's this hunk of steel in your driveway, and maybe equated that with love. You know, it was their tagline, love. It's what makes a Subaru Subaru, but it's so true, because this is the thing that carries your family around with you. Or I know they have like a lot of, and they're so sweet, they have a lot of dogs in their commercials, but it's just like, they've just created this whole narrative of this is like thing that is like keeping you safe and taking you on these adventures. And honestly, like, yeah, people who drive Subarus, like, I feel like they are part of this club, right? So I love the way that they have really developed that, and I admire it.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think I totally admire it. I totally resonate with what you're saying. And on a practical level, as I was mentioning, my stepfather, that's all he buys. He's in the club. So
I love it.
He's darn proud about it. And candidly, it's funny because now, I'm driving them whenever I'm home visiting and borrowing their car, and I really like Subarus too, So
I know.
I think that there's something special about that. And that's part of my fun too, of, in my opinion, the world, for the most part, when you think of products and services, they're all commodities. And I think financial services, especially, it's like a check. I mean, I say this to kind of deflate the thing and be authentic about my opinion on it, but even for the industry that we're in, like, a bank is a bank, a credit card is a credit card, a checking account is a checking account. Like, there is a tool or function of why you need to like have a checking account or a savings account or an IRA or a credit card or a debit card or whatever. So then it comes down to, well, what are the values at that institution, right? It's not at all like, I feel like from a features, like, the playing field is pretty simple. And when I think about cars, they compete, right? They compete for features and all of this stuff. But in 2020, we have pretty incredible features, even on quote base model of cars. So it's right. Got to be something more. Because the world's full of commodities. And so I love it. And I'm finding so much creativity and passion and joy being in the financial services industry and creating a socially responsible credit card company and doing something unique that's self-funded, that's not like some big VC-backed company, where we're just authentic and we're ourselves. And so that's been a lot of our success. And You know, I compare it to the car industry too, which is a complete commodity-based industry. You need a car right. from point A to point B, and you hope it has seatbelts and an airbag, you know?
Right. And it's like, I was talking with some coworkers. We surround ourselves with the products and services that kind of, that reflect us and our values. It's like, when I buy something, it says something about, if I decide to like showcase it in my home, you know, it says something about who we are. If it's the car I drive or, the shoes that I put on my feet, because it has that branding there and it's like, it's saying something and I want to be very proud about what it does say. And so I guess, you know, that's where we come in as storytellers and marketers. It's like we help brands kind of project that value and story to the world.
I think it's awesome. I think it's there's a really, and I hope, I guess what I would say too for people that are listening on to this, a lot of our audience are aspiring social entrepreneurs or those that are running nonprofits and thinking about how to scale and make an impact. And a lot of, for these nonprofits, I think they're going to have some good takeaways from you, Margaret, which is there are so many amazing nonprofits out there doing incredible work, but are so focused on the mission that they don't feel that they have the resources, the time to story tell about it. And I think that there's some level of practical takeaways from this. One that I would even say to people is get your core audience and your donors involved, in your communication and your social media. I think, one basic way is just to start doing features and blogs on the clients that you're serving, for example. So kind of like a random kind of statement, maybe seems out of the blue as I'm saying this to you, but I think that a lot of the things that you're doing, I think are going to be powerful. And I hope that they are for, our community of nonprofits.
And if I can add a couple more tips, I like what you were saying about engaging your donors. There could be a donor who's a writer. Like, yeah, have that person maybe help you write some stories. Also, because when you're running a website, this becomes so clear. You have got to have photography, and it's got to be good photography. We accept group shots, just like, hey, everybody's, everyone smile, but dude, that's not going to move the needle on Facebook or Instagram. You're not going to get people to stop and pause and look at what you have to say. You've got to have a couple or two, invest in just like a day with a photographer, get like five or six, like solid action photos of your clients, your core people, doing what you do best, and make it beautiful. Beautiful meaning real and authentic.
No, sure. And I think, also sometimes I'm guilty. Meanwhile, I think it's a normal thing. And if I'm being real, I'm guilty of not always taking my own advice. But I think what you're saying for someone to do is really a little bit of a pause, a timeout. I mean, the bar is pretty low. In terms of what's available to us from a content production, whether it's photo, video, et cetera. But taking a little time out to up your game for some of your content and your creative around the photos and the videos to be done professionally could be done on a near zero or low budget. But be worth the time investment. I think a lot of, especially people running nonprofits probably could gladly, if they put out to their network that they needed some help, would find, a photographer or someone to volunteer, a couple hours to do a photo shoot. So I think it's well warranted. And I think that sometimes, as I say this, I'll recount what came out on one other podcast. Sometimes I'm learning, from you and from all the guests. Sometimes it's the simplest practical advice. I had another guest of ours share with us that they have specific, it's like, it was either done monthly or quarterly. I think it was quarterly, where they have their board practice pitch, the elevator pitch of the organization, so that when their board and their volunteers are out there in the community, they are all saying the same message. And I thought, what a simple thing, but how many nonprofits don't educate and train their board to rehearse, pitch and present this one cohesive message. Because they're like talking points, and it's such a simple thing, but I was blown away.
It's so simple.
Shout out, Shannon at Response in Aspen, Colorado. So shout out to her for providing that advice. But it's the simple things.
It's so key. I love it though. Love it.
Hey, Margaret, how can people, if they're interested in working with you or learning more, what should they check out? Where should they go?
Ooh, well, check out Atlantic57.com to see our work. Obviously, subscribe to The Atlantic because it's a baller magazine. It just questions what you think you know in the world. It's going to be very, I just love it. Just read it. It's amazing. And then, yeah, check out therenewalproject.com so you can see some of the stories.
Read the Charity Charge one, of course.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to put Charity Charge on the homepage because I know we published it like a minute ago.
Wow. Look at this.
I'll put it on the homepage so people listening can check it out.
That's incredible. I have we're not, obviously together, but I have the big, you could probably tell with the intonation of my voice, I have the biggest smile. So thank you. That's incredible.
Hey man. No, we love it. We love like sharing, and we don't, just because we publish something in January of 2019 that we're never going to, like, we share it constantly. Like all the stuff that we have is like, should be inspiring at any time. So we're constantly resharing our work. And that's actually one of the tips we tell our clients. It's like, don't worry about timestamps. Okay. Timeliness. It's always a great time to share an inspiring story. So don't be so caught up on that.
I echo that, and I appreciate that you're practicing it on behalf of Charity Charge in our community. So Margaret, I want to just close out here and thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. This was really a special one. So thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
And I'll close out here. Just a big thank you and big hugs to our entire community at Charity Charge. Thanks so much for listening along.